Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This is a Lip Media podcast.
Hey, Juicy Lemoners, before we start the show, we wanted to remind you to follow and subscribe to us on whichever podcasting app you're listening to. And as always, enjoy the show. If you live in South Korea, you may want to avoid dressing up as a nurse this Halloween. This week on Lemon, why are nurses in Korea upset with Blackpink's latest music video? And can you imagine a world where people don't have to come in anymore? And later on the show, we have some new recommendations to keep you entertained this week. Each week, we dissect the conversations Asian millennials are having, so don't go anywhere because you're listening to Lemon.
Hello and welcome to the Lemon Show. As always, my name is Philip Cooch.
And I'm Thomas Tan.
Tom, you know, first dates can always be a bit awkward. So my question for you this week is, what's the most embarrassing thing you've done on a first date? Not the other person, but you.
Oh, crap. I was actually going to say the other person. Because for me, I'm not sure if I've actually done anything that's embarrassing on my first date. But I can mention something what they have done.
No, it has to be from you. Because like first dates can be very embarrassing. Like, I'll go first.
Hey, you go first.
So usually when I go on dates, right, the guys I had a date, they're normally more or less my age. But there was one time where I went on a date with an older gentleman.
And how old is old?
Oh, like, he would have, I actually don't know. I think he would have been like 30 to 40.
And how old are you?
23, maybe. Oh. Maybe he wasn't even that old. Maybe he was just like early 30s, I think.
Was this the intention of like getting a sugar daddy?
No.
It was like a genuine date.
It was a genuine date.
Okay,
and
okay.
Like, I've been chatting to him for like a couple of weeks, couple of months, whatever it was. And we decided to hang out and have dinner. And we went to have dinner and he was just wearing a hat. And I noticed that in all his photos, he was wearing a hat. So I was just curious. I was like, oh, why are you wearing hats indoors? Like, we're inside. Why don't you just take it off? And he was like, nah, I'd rather keep it on. And I was like, no, just take it off. He's like, nah, I'm a bit embarrassed by my hair. I'm like, there's nothing to be embarrassed. Like, look at my hair. Just take it off. And I forced him to take it off. And then after he took it off, he was bowling.
Oh, no.
And so I felt so awkward, so embarrassed. And I was just like, oh, maybe you can just put it back on.
Why did you try to put it back on?
I didn't know how to react to the situation.
You should have been like, oh, there's nothing wrong with your hair. What's wrong with it? I didn't see anything wrong. Let's make him feel better.
I don't know how to respond to that.
But you told him to put it back on.
I didn't know how to respond to that. But look, he's doing well.
Is he Asian?
He is Asian. And
he's balding so young.
We still follow each other on Instagram and he has heaps of hair now. So he's obviously addressed the issue. Look, like, there's nothing wrong with going bald. Like, we're all going to go bald one day.
True.
So, yeah, I think, like, if just own it.
But for me, I don't think I've actually done anything embarrassing on my first day. I mean, when I'm on a date, it's usually what they've done.
I think the most embarrassing thing you've done on your first date is that you're just a crab. You just cling onto things.
No, it's because, like, during the screening process, right, like, let's say on Tinder, before I meet these people, because I don't know who they are, like, I didn't get to know about them, their family, where they're coming from, like, their culture, their background, their work. So I pretty much do a whole paper check. Like, I'm finding out about everything. And then by the time the date comes, it's pretty much like...
But don't you think, though, like, sometimes that you might miss out on someone really good because you're only seeing the stuff that they put out in the world on the internet. Like, you don't really get to know the person.
No, but I just like questions. Like, how old are you? What do your parents do? It's like pretty much I'm matchmaking myself. Like, I need to know everything about that person so they're good on paper before I meet them. And so if I do meet them in real life, they're going to be much better.
Okay, then... So no embarrassing stories. What about someone else? And where has someone else done that's embarrassing?
Okay.
Actually, I know the most embarrassing thing you've done now on the
what
first
is it?
Date. You showed me your Tinder profile once, and you in your Tinder bio it said Thomas rhymes with hummus.
What's wrong with that?
That is just what kind of pickup line is that?
I don't know. But anyways, we have a great show for you guys, so keep listening out.
Let's take a live look now outside,
ladies and gentlemen of America.
Ariana Grande lick and spit on the merchandise.
There can be 100 people in the room.
Leave Britney alone!
Catch me outside, how about that?
Rise and shine.
China.
So unless you've been living under a rock, you'll know that Blackpink has released their highly anticipated album after like 4 years. And in to release with the album, they released also released a new music video for Lovesick. And in one of the scenes, Jennie is wearing like a nurse outfit. Like it was very like, I guess like a very traditional nurse outfit, like something you'll see in the 60s or 70s. But the netizens and the Korean Union of Nurses wrote a letter, an open letter to YG Entertainment asking them to take down the video because it was because the scene of Jennie wearing the nurse outfit was sexualizing or objectifying nurses, and they weren't happy with that. And YG obviously released a counter statement saying that, you know, it wasn't meant to be sexualizing or objectifying nurses, and they apologized, and then they ended up editing the music video and re-uploading it.
Can you do that?
I guess like if you're YG, you're Blackpink, you can. Oh. But yeah, they kept all their views, so don't worry about that. But it got me thinking though, because like the netizens in Korea, they've been pretty upset about this and they don't like that, you know, Blackpink is objectifying nurses. But if you look on like the English speaking world, like most of us don't understand why people are upset about this. Like, if you watch a music video, if you see the scene, like, it matches the line that she's singing, and, like, the dress is past her.
And she is lovesick. She's a nurse. She's trying to fix her lovesickness.
Exactly. So it got me thinking, like, do you think it's, like, we have a right to be upset when we don't understand the Korean culture? Like, people who live in the English world.
I understand. That's a great question. And for me, when I heard about this story about Blackpink had to remove the nurses, it made me be like, because me growing up as an Asian in a Western society, I'm like, what's a big deal? Like Blink-182 did it. Everybody's wearing sexy nurse outfits. Mean Girls, like nearly half of the cast on Halloween wearing sexy nurse outfits. And it's like, it's a very common thing. And I thought about it in my situation where if someone wore a dental outfit with lots of blood and a drill and then they sex it up or sexualize it up, I'll have no kind of, like, I wouldn't even flinch if I see it on Halloween or in a music video. And so for South Korean nurses to be angry about this, the first thing I asked was why. So obviously what I did was I went to Google, right?
Yeah. Why are Korean nurses upset?
So I came across this article that was written back last year in 2019 from the Korean Times. And it was written by a guy named Kim Hyun Bin, and he wrote about the community of nurses and how it led to various suicides of these nurses. So in South Korea, there have been several deaths and several suicides of nurses because the community of nurses in South Korea is very toxic, and they make their nurses kind of haze. You know what hazing is?
Nope.
So do you know when like people in America, right, they're banned hazing because in order to get into a fraternity house, like, you know, Alpha, Omega, those houses, you have to like do a lot of tests. So people would like have to strip naked, run down the street. Maybe have to give someone else a blowjob or slap someone on the cheek or kind of rub.
Like initiation.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's been a very toxic culture in South Korea about hazing, and they've actually created a term called, I'm going to butcher this, but it's T-A-E-U-M, Tom, or in English, it's actually called burn to ashes in Korean, meaning that the senior nurses harass junior nurses and new staff with hierarchy leverage and control over them. So then the more I read this article, I'm like, holy crap, like, this is actually pretty dark. So what this term actually includes is that the nursing community, is that when someone joins a nursing community brand new, that the senior nurses tend to spread malicious rumors, holding back keyword related information, which is freaking dangerous if you're dealing with people's health, and assigning them with a very harsh and like kind of very scheduled hectic workload.
But what is that? How does that relate to Blackpink wearing?
I'll get there. So then the more I read this, I'm like, okay, this is starting to make more sense. So the nurses in South Korea, right, they are only sleeping at 4 to 6 hours a week, a day. Like, they're getting very little sleep. And what happens with South Korean nurses' culture is that when you hit the 4 to 6 year mark, what's going to happen is that you become the mentor. So you actually get assigned a junior nurse, and that junior nurse sometimes actually call you mom because of the level of respect they have for you. So then the more I read this article, the more it made sense to me that the community of nurses are kind of pushed to the extreme level, to the brink of burning out. They are assigned roughly average about 13 patients. Per shift. I don't know how it works, but in America, your average is about 5. Some other people in other countries, like in Japan, I think they said it was an average of 7 patients. So I'm getting to my topic. I'm getting to what I'm trying to say, right? So in my head, right, when I'm reading this, the reason why the unions of nurses in South Korea are so upset is because in order to get to become a fully registered nurse, to have that level of respect, you need to go through like this full-on torture, this game, you have to play politics, this kind of mental, physical abuse from the people above you in order to become a nurse and fully work as a nurse in South Korea. And to see a girl, a pop girl, Jenny,
just wearing it. With no qualifications.
No qualifications. It kind of diminishes in their eyes the value of being a nurse in South Korea. But my question for you is, should we be pissed off at Jenny just wearing a sexy nurse outfit? Or should we be pissed off at the South Korean nurses community of how toxic their community is?
Well, I think like the reaction from the English-speaking world is that we don't understand why they're upset. Mm. And I think the Korean netizens are on the nurses' union side because maybe they do understand the history and the culture behind becoming a nurse. But you can, I guess, like argue that being a nurse, to become a nurse in any country is hard.
Mm.
But with the layer of being initiated into a what are the female frat houses called?
Like, I don't know, Amiga, I don't know.
It's also an S, a sorority house.
Oh, sorority houses, yeah.
It's a different level, like it's an extra layer. But like the thing I don't understand is like if you look in the history of K-pop music videos, I can think of a few examples where there's been other female pop singers, K-pop singers who have worn nurses' outfit. Like SNSD was one of them. And
oh yeah.
And I wonder if this is a case of tall puppy syndrome. Like in Australia, we're very familiar with this syndrome where, you know, you don't like seeing people from your own country succeed. And Blackpink in particular is doing very, 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 very well around the, on a global scale. And they are representing Koreans on a global scale as well. So I wonder if they are taking aim at Blackpink because, and being a lot stricter on and harder on Blackpink is because they are representing a whole country and representing a whole culture. And it just reminded me of the time when, I think it was like when Blackpink released that song, Playing With Fire a couple of years ago, and Rosé was not wearing a seatbelt in one of the scenes, and all the TV shows banned it. They were like, nah, this is not appropriate. Like you have to either edit this music video out, or we're not going to be playing this song or be giving this airtime. And yeah, I wonder if it's a tall puppy syndrome thing. Or if it's just,
No, that makes sense. That does make sense. And you brought a really good point. Like, why didn't the netizens in South Korea get pissed off when SNS, did they get pissed off when...
I don't recall them ever being pissed off about wearing a nurse outfit.
It is a bit interesting how they do pick and choose what they want to get pissed off at. Because like you said, like you can recall a lot of other music videos where people are wearing sexy nurse outfits. But I can recall a lot of other music videos in South Korea that they are appropriating a lot of different other cultures, if that makes sense.
Like Lisa with the Indians. With the Hindu. Hindu
stuff. So it doesn't make sense. Why would you get pissed off at a sexy nurse outfit when you've actually done so much kind of worse in my head?
Okay, well, the other thing I wanted to bring up was, let's talk about the double stand in K-pop. Like, why is it okay for men, K-pop men, to take off their shirts and dance topless, but for Jenny to wear something that is past, like fully covered, nothing looks sexualized on the surface about it? Why is that so offensive? And why have there been so other scenarios where females in K-pop have won something and people in Korea weren't happy with that?
I mean, it's been like this for thousands of years. But I think in the last, I'd say about a couple of decades, that's when we've seen a lot of change in society, whether or not it's in South Korea, but in our average day, like people are becoming a lot more open-minded. And I think it takes a lot more people to get there. I don't have the answer because women have always been oppressed, like always been oppressed, like since the Stone Ages. Who knows, you know, they were probably made to, you know, you can only catch fish during Tuesdays. All the men go out and hunt and all the girls are like, no, I want to hunt too. I don't have the answer.
Well, oh my God, it just reminds me of the time when, like, I remember when Sully, when she started doing Free the Nipple campaign, people in Korea were so pissed off because she was not wearing a bra. Like,
mm.
it's just like, yeah, the double standard in Korea is just, is like, if you think in the Western culture is bad, I think Korea and Asia, broadly speaking, is even worse. But look, we've got a long way to go with Asia.
Actually, now you brought that point up, there's a video that I actually stumbled across this week. It was by a YouTube guy called Pika Grip Snack, and he uploaded a video about high school exchange students from Korea, Finland, Pakistan, and Nigeria to discuss freedom and about American teens. And it was done back in 1955, and I was actually extremely shocked. So a bit gobsmacked to the point that the Korean guy and the Nigerian girl were so open-minded about like love, relationship, and freedom of American teens. And then it made me think, wow, did Korea, South Korea go a little bit backwards here? Like all these double standards, like even this guy was saying that my parents wouldn't even kind of do anything, even if I was in fall in love with a girl or a guy. I'm like, holy crap, like this is from 1955. Like, dude, like, wow. And fast forward to 2020 in South Korea, people are getting upset about Sully's Free the Nipple campaign. People are getting upset about sexy nurse outfits. So it makes me think about, have we actually gone backwards, especially in K-pop society? So definitely recommend you guys to watch this video. It's called 1955 High School Exchange Students from Korea, Finland, Pakistan, and Nigeria. It only came out about a month ago, but it's already got 1.5 million views.
No, you can just add that to the show notes. Still okay, read the title.
I don't know. You do all the show notes and stuff, so I don't know what to do. But like in your free time, YouTube that. So let us know what you guys think.
There'll be more Lemon coming up, but first, here's a few words from today's sponsors. So today is National Coming Out Day in America. I don't think it's National Coming Out in Australia, but I think it got me thinking about this conversation about where we stand in the future, especially, you know, being in today's age, I guess being gay and being trans or being, you know, anything is just...
Queer, I think it's a term.
Yeah, being queer is very widely accepted now, but there's still a lot more progress to make. And I just want to think about, you know, can we ever come to a day where you don't have to come out to anyone? Like, is there ever going to be a point where we're not so obsessed with trying to find out people's sexual orientation or who our neighbors want to get in bed with? But the reason why I wanted to talk about this was because there's a writer named Max who wrote for Refining 29 about this. And they were talking about, you know, being gay in today's age is still very hard. Like, if when you come out, you've got to do it more than once. Like, coming out does not mean, you know, it's done. Like, your work is not done. And, you know, you got to come out to your, you know, to people at work. You got to come out, constantly come out. It's just a very tiring cycle of coming out. And, like, even for myself personally, like, you know, I've came out to my mum once before, and I think I've got to come out to her a few more times for her to fully accept it. But like, even like me being 27 now, I find it extremely hard to tell people that I'm gay. Like,
is it like every person that you meet, you have to question whether or not they're going to be in your life long enough, so you need to start questioning whether or not they're worth telling? Is that how it is?
It's that, and also whether or not they're going to treat you differently. Like, I was training with a PT, like, he's very macho, like a very manly man. And like, I trained with him for almost 2 years and he did not know I was gay. And I thought about every single time training with him about just dropping a hint that I was gay, but I just didn't know how. Like, I just, the anxiety of having to tell him, and then being worried how he's going to respond and whether he's going to treat me differently. I think it's just a very tiring routine to go through every single time you meet someone.
Did you end up telling him?
I don't think so.
Oh.
But look, with that being said though, it got me thinking about Asian families, especially immigrant families. Like, a lot of our non-Asian friends, like, they have a bit more easier because their parents can read English. Like, they can educate themselves on what it's like to be queer or LGBT. But for a lot of immigrant parents who live in Australia or in America, they don't have resources to access this. And they don't have the resources to understand what it's like to be queer. Like, in their home countries, it's probably still illegal.
Like a death sentence. Yeah, and I think you're right. It comes down to where they're going to get their resource from. And most of the, like, you know, our Asian parents, they get their resource from their friends, WhatsApp, WeChat, Facebook. And if their friends have a negative mindset on queer people, obviously that's going to influence them to have a negative mindset too. But you're telling me how, if I can say, like, your ex's parents was very educated, you know, very well versed on literature, education. So he had the privilege of them kind of reading up on information about STIs, sex, drugs, this and that. And it allowed him to be in a lot more safer and open-minded space. Whereas your parents, who may not have that level of education, they may not be able to read about it.
It's not that they're dumb or anything. Like, it's just that they just literally don't have any resources to explain to them what it's like to be queer or LGBT. But it is very exciting to think about that, you know, our generation of parents may not be able to understand, but the next generation of parents, which is us, we're going to make such a big difference for the next bunch of Asian kids who may not, for growing up now, may not be able to come out to their parents. Like, I know so many of my Asian friends who are taking their sexuality to the grave with them because they just don't think their parents will ever be able to understand, which is very, very, very sad. Look, all in all, I just wanted to use this, you know, this space and time just to remind people to let kids be kids and just let them discover themselves and, you know, let them come out whenever they want to come out. And I do hope that one day, like, people aren't so obsessed with finding out people's sexual orientation. Like, that's such a private matter. I think we should just keep private.
Why can't people just assume that everybody is queer until proven straight?
Then all the straight people will revolt. All right, it's recommendation time, and I've been waiting all week to recommend the show. Okay, the show I want to recommend is Emily in Paris, and it's a show that was produced by Darren Star, who obviously also created Sex in the City and Younger and all these other amazing TV shows.
Like a very kind of girly,
he makes the best best chick flicks. Like,
yeah, yeah, that's better, chick flicks, yeah. Yeah,
and like obviously Sex in the City was such a phenomenon, but like I was probably like 5 when that came out. So I never really got into Sex in the City, but I did watch Younger, which is another TV show he made, and it's amazing. Like, I'm obsessed with it. But so yeah, when I saw that he made Emily in Paris, I was very excited about to watch his show because, yeah, like I said, he makes the best chick flicks. And so Emily in Paris is about this girl who works in marketing, and she gets transferred to Paris, and yeah, she pretty much, just like all his other shows, it revolves around fashion, about boys and relationships and friendship. So all those themes that, you know, we love about his other shows are also in this new show as well. But what I really love about this show is that, especially during a time where there's, you know, we're stuck at home, right? It kind of like gives you that escapism.
So when you're watching, you feel like you're in Paris.
Yeah.
So you're living vicariously through her.
And because I've studied marketing, I feel like I'm her.
Oh.
And I've always wanted to live overseas and work overseas. And watching the character do that on the show, I'm just like, oh my God, I can just imagine this was me, you know, seeing all these French men and in croissants, staying in the Eiffel Tower, you know. It's just, yeah, it's just like, especially during a time of COVID, it's such a good way to escape and be somewhere else rather than your bedroom.
I think, like, I haven't seen the show yet. I've only seen, like, the trailer. And what I do love Lily Collins. Like, she's phenomenal. And she's been in a lot of different roles. Like, she played The Bone. Like, so she played someone with anorexia nervosa. She plays a lot of romantic movies as well. But I've seen that the guy, Lucas Braga, I think he's been trending. I think he's, like, the new It Hot dude on the TV Netflix shows.
Well, he is hot. But I did have one issue with this show, and I think this is a lot of everyone is discussing about this as well. But so she's American, and she travels to all the way to France to help fix the marketing company and show them the American way. And look, there's another discussion to be had about America being the center of the world of everything. But look, it's at the end of the day, it's such a great show still, and so much eye candy. But what would you recommend, Tom?
I just watched Do you remember Angela Johnson? Angela Johnson, sorry. So she was infamously viral for that old video that she did back in the day about the Vietnamese nail salon. So I think she released another comedy skit, I think back in 2015, but I haven't got around to watch it until a couple of days ago. And she is still hilarious, still the same, maybe a little bit shorter hair with more highlights. But for those who haven't heard of her, definitely look up her old nail salon video. But she just does comedy so well, and it's so tasteful. So she goes on to explain what has happened post. So her comedy skits, this one is about life after the nail salon, like what she's been up to, her marriage, having no kids. And she goes, just explains everything in a very funny way. And what it made me think is how she got away, not get away, but how she managed to not
get cancelled.
And I love her that much that I don't want her to be cancelled. But I think it's because the fact that she is of Mexican descent. And so she herself is a minority. And she's been through what we've been through as well. And the way that she mocks the Vietnamese accent is actually in a very tasteful way. Like, oh my God, she's done it so well. So she gets a pass for it. And I love how just everything that she says is just very, like, it's not coming at Asian culture at a very negative way.
Yeah.
It's in a very relatable way. And I think that's why she hasn't got cancelled.
Well, I remember when that video went viral in 2009 or whatever year it was, like, the whole Vietnamese community was laughing about it. Like, and the reason why, yeah, they're laughing about it is because it's so relatable and so true. And like you said, she does comment in a way that is just tasteful. It's just not offensive. It's not really hurting anyone. And she talks, oh my God, I love the part where she makes a joke about how whenever she goes into a nail salon now, she's just worried for her life.
Yeah. I mean, I would be too if I put that video out, but she's hilarious. So guys, if you're actually looking for something just to laugh about during COVID days, definitely look up Angela Johnson's comedy skit on Netflix. And if you're looking for a romantic Paris getaway, oui, oui, bonjour, then I'll recommend the Netflix show Emily in Paris.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us all the way to the end. I'm going to ask everyone to do one favor this week. Go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a really nice review, because I think we need to get our spirits a bit lifted, because we've been in lockdown for 8 months now. Oh my gosh. We need some nice comments.
We do. So please send us some nice 5 stars our way. And some very lovely messages too. And maybe some $4 money just for coffee.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a new season we recommend.
I'm Vanessa Zoltan. I am a Jewish atheist non-denominational chaplain.
And I'm Matt Potts, and I am a professor at Harvard Divinity School.
And we co-host the podcast Harry Potter and the Sacred Text, which is a week-by-week read-through of the Harry Potter books, where we treat those books as if they were sacred texts. And I know what you're thinking, that sounds weird. And I'm here to confirm your suspicions. It is weird, but it does somehow work. By considering these texts deeply on a week-to-week basis, we are able to consider things like how to love ourselves better and how to love each other better.
And this is a great time to join the podcast, because we've just finished the series and we're starting over with Book 1, Chapter 1. Listen to the show on the Acast app or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes drop on Thursdays.
Acast recommends.